Do you know how long the average professional spends making slide decks every week? 5 hours. That's almost an entire workday resizing text boxes and moving around bullet points. Well, Gamma is here to rescue you from presentation purgatory. Just drop in your notes and Gamma magically turns them into polished presentations, websites, social posts, you name it. No design or coding skills required. Start for free at gamma.app and get a month of Gamma Pro for free with promo code PODCAST.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, my next guest, Louise George, is a holistic psychotherapist, a yoga teacher and a coach. Integrating the practices, she helps people navigate life's challenges with a particular interest in the relationships we have with food and our bodies. This stems from Louise's personal experience with an eating disorder, a journey which has brought her to a full circle moment, and she is here in studio to tell that story. Louise, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is an incredible mix, I think, to have the yoga practice, the psychotherapy. So you're very much about the mind-body connection.
I am, but it's all happened so organically. You know, really, my journey into psychotherapy was because I struggled with the eating disorders myself and had to do a lot of deep diving into my own background and my own psyche. And then the yoga really came out of another period in my life where I struggled with anxiety. So I kind of teach what I need. You know, I teach others what I've learned. I use my life experience to help other people.
And handy that you get that everyday reminder, like I do, to work in something you love and get that constant reminder of how to look after yourself. It's quite handy, really.
Absolutely. There are days when I think, oh, I just don't want to go to work. And then I come back and think, oh my God, I love my job. And I'm so lucky that it makes me feel better, not worse.
And you live in Cork.
You do.
And was it love that brought you there?
It was. I married an Irish man, a Kerry man, who actually was working in Cork. So we came over here in 2007, just before everything crashed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that story. I know that story. But that's not the one
you
are here to tell, because you had a recent diagnosis and that's sort of part of the full circle moment. Tell us a bit about that.
I was diagnosed a few weeks ago with lipedema, which is not lymphedema, it's lipedema. And I had suspected for a year or so, having read a few things, that maybe that was what I had. And so I sought out a diagnosis. But basically, lipedema is a fat disorder. So nobody wants to be diagnosed with a fat disorder in a fat-phobic society, but also I'm not fat. I'm not a big person even. I'm quite a small person. But lipedema is a sort of, we might often call it pear-shaped, but it's different to that. So there's a disproportionate sort of layering of fat on your lower body compared to your upper body. And there are some telltale signs, like kind of tree trunk legs is one of the things that I was called when I was growing up, which was very hurtful, but probably true at the time. There can be a lot of fat laid around the ankles and knees, but basically this is fat. It's fat that's trapped and it's impacted by, it's a connective tissue disease, it's a vascular disease. So there can be swelling, there can be bruising, there can be pain. And if it's not diagnosed early, in the early stages, it can really become a sort of issue for mobility, for chronic pain. So it's actually quite serious, even though it doesn't sound it, you know.
So you mentioned one of the comments you got as a child, and you have a collection of those that are seared into your soul.
I would say most people with lipedema do. I can remember being 5 years old in a ballet class, and I can remember looking around the room at the other girls' legs and thinking, I think there's something wrong with my legs, because they had these gangly, knobbly knees and I didn't. I had these kind of soft, kind of chubby legs, I suppose, for a little girl. But there was something in me at that age that was trying to work this out. And then I can remember, I have another memory being about sort of 7 or 8 years old and going down to my mum and crying to her and saying, I don't think I've got enough blood in my legs. So I kind of had this sense there's something wrong, but it was never picked up on. I mean, they didn't diagnose it back then anyway. And my mum would tell me that I was beautiful and I was fine and off I would go. But then when I hit puberty, and this is the thing about lipedema, it's hormones that can really speed this condition up. So when I hit puberty, lipedema looks like cellulite and it but it feels a little different. So I became a bit more self-conscious then, and that was when some boy said to me, "You've got legs like tree trunks." And then there was another time when somebody commented that my knees were rubbing together, and somebody said I had legs like a footballer. So these are really hurtful comments that kind of go deep, but it was my shame really that it was triggering, that came from being such a little girl. And then I don't remember things getting so much worse during pregnancy, but a lot of people will find pregnancy is a time when the condition gets bad, and menopause. And I think the average age that a woman gets diagnosed with lipedema is about 48. So it's another one of the menopause kind of side effects, because hormones really impact it a lot.
Wow. And to get to 48 without a diagnosis is a long time.
Yeah, that shame. And I can recall going down on a beach when I was like 17 or 18 in my jeans in Ibiza, just so I didn't have to get my legs out. You know, you're carrying that shame and you're trying to hide and you're wondering what's going on. And then oftentimes this leads into eating disorders, which is what happened to me.
And that was in your teens, because you went from being a little girl who was wondering what was going on, doing a bit of comparison, but being told you were beautiful by your mom would set you back on track to, I'm going to try and control what I'm eating to try and change my body shape.
Well, I suppose what happened around that age, around 18 really, was this interest in boys, you know, and relationships started. And I guess it was this fear of rejection or comments about my body, and the trying to hide it got harder. And then I had a boyfriend when I was about 18 who said, yeah, you put a bit of weight on, and he kind of patted my legs. And just that feeling of, oh God, here we go, do you know? So I went on a diet. And that diet turned into years of eating disorders, anorexia and bulimia, because I think any woman that goes on a diet is susceptible to that. I think if you had a certain, you know, 100 women maybe and put them all on a diet, maybe 10 would develop an eating disorder. But this is a condition that this fat that lays down is resistant to diet and exercise. So that's, I think, the problem, is that you can keep going and going and going and you don't see any change. But that's because it's lipedema and it's not obesity. It's not normal fat.
And how bad did things get?
Oh, well, I probably should have been hospitalised, but I think that I nipped it in the bud just before of that. I don't like to say how low my weight is because it's very triggering for anybody else listening, but I was not in a good place. And, you know, I think people were telling me how awful I looked, but I couldn't hear it. And then the only way that I finally really saw it was because I was in a nightclub on Christmas Eve. And you know those mirrors that kind of show your reflection from a different angle? So it was one of those mirrors I looked in and I kind of saw myself in a different way and thought, oh my God, you know, who's that? And then realised it was me. And then I saw in that moment what everybody else was seeing, you know, this kind of waif, like my head was too big for my body. I didn't look well. And I felt embarrassed, I think. And then I went home and I know the next day was Christmas Day and I weighed myself and I thought, OK, this is where it ends. And I went looking for help then. But I was 21 by then, so it was a few years. And then it did take me a little while to kind of get on top of things.
You did also get a little, I don't know whether it's a push from the universe, but a sad thing that happened. You were away travelling. Mm. Tell us a little bit about what happened to you, to your boyfriend.
Well,
at
I think
the time.
My push to get better from anorexia was because I wanted to travel. That was my dream. You know, I wanted to go and see the world and I couldn't. Being underweight, it wasn't safe. So I kind of went to the gym and I got the weight back on and I got myself fit. And I said to my boyfriend, I really want to go travelling. And he said, let's do a round the world trip. He was a little older than me. I was 22, I think, and he was 28. And so we set off and we spent 9 months traveling around Southeast Asia, which was amazing. And I've got amazing memories. I lost quite a bit of weight again. I struggled to keep it on. We all lost weight. But he then started to get really quite sick. About 9 months into the trip, we were kind of stuck in Bali. And I was trying to get him to doctors on the back of motorbikes and all kinds of things. And he was being treated for typhoid, but it turned out by the time I got him to Australia, we realised it was a very nasty brain tumour that eventually killed him 6 months later. So that kind of did give me the push. Like, he was a very healthy young man. He didn't really drink. He didn't smoke. He was vegetarian. He did all the right things and his life was over. And there was I, you know, taking these chances with my body and my health. And so that was a big kick up the backside, yeah.
I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah.
It is a really unfair part of life that can happen to some people.
Yeah.
And it must have been very difficult to move on from that at the time. But Bali has come back into your life. You left Bali in a panic with a very sick boyfriend many years ago. But one of the really good things about social media is it can connect communities. And it was a lymphedema page
yeah.
that you were on. Tell us about that.
Well, obviously, I'm a yoga teacher now. So when I left the UK, I'd been working as an eating disorders specialist counsellor in the UK after Michael had died. That's what I went and did and trained to become a psychotherapist. And then when I moved to Ireland, they don't really have, well, they didn't then, eating disorder services the same way. There is an issue there, I think, in Ireland with those services. So I was also a little bit anxious around that time. I had young kids. I was a bit burnt out and I started to then do yoga and then became a yoga teacher. And now I have my own yoga studio. So I am actually going to be teaching on the first lipedema retreat in the world, actually. But what happened was I had gone looking up lipedema, found this woman, the Lippy Nutritionist. She's based in Australia. And I just commented on one of her posts and she private messaged me in response. And we had a little chat. And then I went back on her page and I thought, oh, she's doing a retreat. That's so lovely. And I said to her, if you ever need a yoga teacher, let me know. And she said, well, that's so weird. I actually do. I'm actually just going to start looking for one. Would you like to do it? So I am going back in a few weeks' time to teach yoga on the first lipedema retreat in the world in Bali. So I get to go back to Bali and in a different, 33 years later.
And everyone on that retreat will have lipedema or want to know more about it.
Yes. And she is going to help them work out their diet and nutrition because it's Bali. They will be having, I think, massage every day. Massage, there's a lot of things you can do to help lipedema, which I guess it's really important to say to anybody listening who thinks they might have it. This affects about 10% of women, doesn't really affect men. Although I do think I got mine off my daddy. So, he got it off his mom. I can see the lineage. But compression, things like that, massage, you know, deep tissue massage, lymph massage, diet and certain types of exercise, you know, can be really helpful. Yoga is one of the best things you can do. So, I mean, again, I've happened upon a career in yoga, just perfect really for helping me with the condition. So
how have you navigated getting the diagnosis, which can be a really positive thing, but having to recalibrate the amount of work you've done in body shape acceptance? How have you managed to navigate between those two things?
Do you know, getting the diagnosis was really emotional. And I didn't think it would be because I thought by the time I went there, I was like, I've definitely got this. This is definitely what it is. But when she actually told, she actually only looked at my legs and said, yes, you have lipedema. And then she did quite a detailed, this is a lady called Maeve McSweeney in Cork, actually, the lymph clinic in Cork. She did the diagnosis and she did quite a detailed diagnosis. And we ended, I cried a couple of times talking to her about it. We ended up hugging her. And but I think that, you know, there's massive validation in it for me. You know, that little five-year-old girl in me that, like, you know, I got the answer for her and now I know what to do to help myself. And actually, I have done all the right things to help myself. There are more things I can do, like the compression. Like when I go to Bali now, I know that wearing compression is going to be really helpful because I will swell in the heat and I always swell on holiday, but I didn't know why. So the body image stuff, I think, you know, we live in a society that is so focused on body image, but then it always was. I can remember being in English class reading like 19th century novels where they'd say, you know, a flash of a shapely ankle and I'd be sitting there in shame going, I haven't got shapely ankles. So it's always been there and it's always something that I think for any woman we have to work on acceptance of our bodies the way that they are. But certainly for me, this is, it's helpful. You know, I have always kind of, I suppose, watched my diet and I try to eat healthily and I try to do all the right things and I have the legs I have and I get on with it and accept it. But then this diagnosis, yeah, has definitely helped with the validation. And I think that one of the reasons that I was really wanting to talk to you about it is because I know there are women suffering out there. I have friends already that have contacted me, family members that have contacted me saying, you know, I'm a size 10 on top and I'm an 18 on the bottom. And now I realise this is what it is. And the sad thing is that you can't really diet it away. You know, there are, I'm in groups now and I see a lot of the women going for liposuction surgery, which is one of the only things you can actually do to permanently get rid of it. And even then it can come back. But if anybody is needing information on that, the Lipedema Support Network Ireland has a page on Instagram, and then they can put you into a WhatsApp group and you can talk to all these women in your area and they'll give you help and advice. And it's amazing, actually. I've ordered 2 pairs of compression leggings yesterday because of the group. But, you know, so there are things you can do to help yourself. So it's not all bad news.
And it's interesting, I'm following somebody on Instagram who's gone on a big journey. She's had cosmetic surgery to her chest and her tummy. And she said a couple of times, you know, for people who are happy in their body the way it is, that's 100% fine. But for those who aren't and aren't feeling comfortable in their own skin, which is the way she was, it's very empowering to be able to do something about that. And I'm not trying to necessarily compare aesthetic surgery to that, but it's that feeling in your own skin.
It is. And I think it was that feeling that I knew at 5, because I wasn't aware then of, you know, what a body should look like. I was 5, you know, but I felt wrong. Something felt wrong. So that's the part that's had the validation. Something was wrong. But I am not in a large body, you know. So if I did go for something like surgery, it would be more aesthetic, really. I'm not in pain. I do bruise and always have bruised really easily. And some of my legs are quite tender to touch, but some of these women are really incapacitated by the condition and they really need that help. But it's very hard to get that on insurance. It's very hard. You have to travel out of the country to get the liposuction done. So there's a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot of awareness that needs to be raised. It's, you know, women going to doctors being told to lose some weight and then they can't. So I think that's really a big issue.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking about it.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
And if you want to find out more about Louise, you can go to I Am Louise George on Instagram. If you've been affected by anything discussed in the area of disordered eating or eating disorders, relationship with food and body, as discussed with Louise, Bodywise Ireland are an incredible organisation that can give confidential support and information. You can find out more at bodywise.ie, that's WHYS.ie, or you can call them 01-210-7906. And thanks again very much to Louise for sharing her story.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna, Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.
Do you know how long the average professional spends making slide decks every week? 5 hours. That's almost an entire workday resizing text boxes and moving around bullet points. Well, Gamma is here to rescue you from presentation purgatory. Just drop in your notes and Gamma magically turns them into polished presentations, websites, social posts, you name it. No design or coding skills required. Start for free at gamma.app and get a month of Gamma Pro for free with promo code PODCAST.